This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how crediting experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have Risk Scout's very own Justin Fisher. He's talking about fintech as a high-risk market and the regulations that are surrounding it. And they've even worked with the board at NCUA on some of these items as well. So really important stuff here from Justin. So I hope you guys check it out. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have Risk Scout's very own Justin Fisher. Justin, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. It's good. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. Hey, you know, next time I'm going to ask you to take the guitar off the wall behind you and do some intro music for us. So that'd be a lot of fun.
I think. I might have to do a little Adam Sandler, like improv, you know.
That would be good too.
Put me on the spot there. Yeah.
I would like that. That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. So, all righty, sir. So let's talk. Before we get started, give Risk, here's an opportunity to give a Risk Out a quick plug, a quick elevator speech, if you will, on what you guys do and how you're helping credit unions these days.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the CEO and co-founder of Risk Out. We're a little over 3 years. We were founded by a team that come from bank software and the OCC and FFIEC, so bank regulators. And really, our mission is to help institutions understand and sort of capitalize on new markets, whether that might be fintech or cannabis or, you know, online gaming, which is a crazy new market.
Really?
But also deal with some of those pesky markets that you might have, MSBs, ATMs, those sort of things. So we help a lot of credit unions and banks across the country first understand the regulatory requirements, understand the operational overhead, the ROI, maybe pitch to the board, but generally have a platform for them to be able to manage all the, you know, all the opportunity management and all the compliance that goes with it.
Like it. Yeah. A super important priority driven task for sure. In this case, financial institutions or credit unions. So yeah, for sure. So today we're talking about fintech, where one of the areas that you guys work in as well, as kind of a high risk market as well. So this is so top of mind for any credit union out there working with fintechs or want to work with fintech. So can you share with me kind of like the different types of fintech relationships out there that credit unions are doing? And then we'll dive into like why it's a high risk and then how they can, you know, do that to improve their operations, if you will.
Yeah, look, Mike, I'm probably gonna bring you down with me on this fintech. We've been doing this for several decades, right? Working with banks and credit unions in the country. Back then, fintech was really just any company that was, you know, financial tech, right? That was
the whole. Yeah.
Nowadays, it's interesting. I mean, you really have to kind of dissect. I mean, we've got reg tech, we've got fintech, we've got, you know, and for the purposes of this conversation, we're gonna talk about, you know, businesses that require bank credit union services, right? So, you know, kind of the early iterations of that was, let's say, Augusto or Rippling, who said, hey, I need payroll services, right? Yeah. And I'm going to offer payroll services to other businesses, not just for myself, to other businesses. That was kind of the first step of like, well, okay, we're going to open up ACH out to this, you know, business. And, you know, okay, I guess they're going to be fine. You know, mm-hmm. They kind of know our institution rules, to where we are now, where, you know, you have institutions sponsoring Chime, you know, really retail commercial banking, you know, what you call neobanks or, you know, fintech banks, to, you know, B2B payments, escrow, payroll, subaccount ledgers, lending, buy now, pay later is also kind of a considered sponsored fintech. You have embedded finance. That's kind of one of the big ones. You look at Apple, right? Having the card in the phone, having the, you know, oh, you want to finance this, you want to pay for this, all kind of in the Apple ecosystem, right? So that, you know, there's a lot of talk around whether Apple really is a bank now, right?
I know.
And then, you know, probably the last one I would talk about is kind of card. You know, you have debit card, credit card, closed loop card systems, you know, kind of payments and card in general, but those are the big ones. And so when we talk about fintech in today's context, kind of more of a, you know, the credit union sponsoring, you know, a technology provider who goes beyond just a commercial account relationship, right?
Can you share with me like fintechs being a high risk market? Because I mean, obviously, and I want to get to this as well as how you guys are working with NCUA, because you told me right before the recording that you guys are working with a board member, Rodney Hood, as well. So in that area. So how is it high risk? I know there's high risk there involved, but there's also the steps to take to vet these fintechs as well for credit unions. So they're not so high risk. So I don't know, you know this way better than I do.
Start with kind of the reward before the risk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Why would a credit union even go do this? Why do they offer these services? Well, look, you can make potential interchange, you know, potentially a whole new customer base that you weren't able to access.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're trying to do a digital banking, you know, initiative and, you know, God forbid the core or your internal infrastructure is keeping you from being able to invest in that. But this new provider could be sort of a subsidiary, right? Like they could offer this new online apps and all this great stuff. I even know credit unions that are investing in, you know, just regular consultancy companies to build them whole digital banking platforms, which is a lot more than I think they know what it is. But, you know, so there's that reward is why people do it, right? Now, in terms of the risk, you know, it's really interesting. The regulators have come up with a lot more scrutiny, you know, as of last year and kind of going into this year. OCC has made it one of their top three requirements in terms of like what they're going to look at this year. And we actually ran into Rodney Hood. We've worked with Rodney and really been able to hear some of his great leadership through the cannabis side.
Yeah.
And so we recently were able to share what we're doing and really hear some of their priorities and, you know, just work together on a good, you know, level of communication to share what credit unions and banks are seeing and then help the examiners and regulators understand that. So, you know, one of the things that happens is a pendulum, right? Like last couple of years, it swung way over to growth and not necessarily compliance. I won't name a lot of institutions because it becomes sensitive, but you can kind of go out there and look at some of the OCC cease and desist or the regulation order, and you'll see what happened was, I like to put this a little bit like the TSA, you know, and pretty timely right now before spring break. If you're going into the airport and, you know, it's Hartsfield Jackson, which I used to travel to a lot in Atlanta, and you got 100 people standing in front of you, you know, you're sitting there probably grunting about the TSA. Oh, you know, effectiveness. Why are we even doing this? Da, da, da. And then there's a clear terminal, right? And you can walk right through that clear terminal and in, but you're actually doing more compliance, right? You're doing your fingerprints, you're doing your background check. You know, and so really an institution's BSA department and compliance department, including loan compliance, is kind of like the TSA, right? And I say that very lovingly. And sometimes they're understaffed, sometimes they don't have all the equipment, but their job is to make sure that every customer coming through and every sort of transaction and dollar coming through, you know, is KYC'd, KYC, KYB, you know your customer, know your business. And then all the other pillars, which are monitoring for activity that could look illegal, you know, all these things. Well, that's one thing when the traffic is coming through your branch or through your teller where you can kind of manage that, right? You can train your so forth. You know, a lot of the elder abuse and elder care, you can recognize when someone's bringing in an elderly person and they're taking advantage of them. And, you know, you can recognize human trafficking transactions.
Yeah.
But what if this sort of airport analogy is sort of extracted where you don't know who's coming through the branch? You don't know the transactions coming through. All you know is when you look at the account, there's 100,000 transactions. You don't even know who are really doing them. And that's what happens in this fintech relationship is an institution will essentially share their account, an FBO account for benefit of, and the fintech is operating it with their technology. Well, they're now responsible for the KYC and KYB. They're also responsible for looking for money laundering patterns, right? And if an institution, let's just take cannabis as an example. You say, I'm not doing cannabis. Okay, great. That's your policy. Well, if you bank Gusto, who's doing payroll, are you making sure that they're not signing up cannabis companies? Because if they're transiting payroll, then they're coming through your system.
Right.
And here's the issue. Some of these institutions, again, I won't name names. You can find them or contact me afterwards. But there's very well-known situations where they went to the examiner in OCC in this case and said, hey, we signed a liability agreement with so-and-so, Chime or whoever. They're supposed to do this. And the OCC says, well, they're not sitting at the table with you. And you're responsible as the bank of record.
Yeah.
And this lies the problem is there are some tools out there for the fintechs, you know, a la Alloy or some, you know, transaction monitoring tools. But really for the sponsor credit union, there's not a lot. You know, your existing BSA tool, maybe a Verafin or a Brigo or, you know, one of those tools, it's not really built for fintech relationships, right? It's not built to sort of separate this FBO account into all these different details. And so what ends up happening, unfortunately, is a CEO of an aspiring institution says, we're going to go do this. I met this company. You know, they vetted them, they think they're great. And then, you know, I've actually heard this exact example. They start the beta and 100 businesses come over and the BSA officer, who's only by herself, says, hold on, I can't review more than 15 of these a month. And the CEO's like, well, wait a minute, like there's 100 here. And then the fintech is saying 100, we're going to do 1,000 guys. Like you need to get going. And so it's if they just allow it to go through, it's the equivalent of a TSA line where you just open the ropes and didn't check your boarding pass, didn't check your KYC, maybe all those people are okay.
Maybe not. Yeah.
And so this is falls on the institution who's doing it. So there's a lot of exuberation and excitement around getting into these markets. And so the pendulum is swung back now, starting towards, well, here are some of the pitfalls. And I guess when I look at it from sort of our view, there's not a lot of institutions having open conversations with their regulators. There's not a lot of institutions really thinking about the sponsor requirements.
Yeah.
If you're a large institution that's been doing it for the past, let's say, 5 years, I mean, there's several of them out there, then you have created teams of, and I'm not kidding, 30 to 60 BSA professionals who manage. Right. And yeah, these are institutions who realize what they have to do, and the software can do it. So they do it manually.
Oh my gosh. What a chore. What a task.
Yeah. Well, get this. What one of the top three online gambling apps, which, you know, if you watch the Super Bowl, you'll see a lot of these, right?
Oh yeah.
And then they're just, those guys are printing money. They have a deposit portfolio, non-interest bearing deposit portfolio, just people's money sitting in these accounts, right? In this app, mm-hmm. that's well over $1.6 billion. And the institutions that manage that, they'll have 30, 40 people that are managing that, because, I mean, again, you're managing a deposit portfolio of almost free money that you can lend out.
Yeah.
But you have compliance requirements. You know, you have to make sure people in, you know, Russia aren't gambling on there.
Yeah, no doubt.
And all these sort of things that kind of relate to it. So I'll tell you, one of the institutions that got in trouble, I recently saw a Facebook ad for one of their fintechs. And this fintech was just recently, this is 6 months after the OCC issue, they were advertising on this Facebook app, you know, if you're a foreign national, we'll sign up your accounts. And people were saying, well, I don't have a US domicile, because they're saying that's a requirement. Don't worry, we'll set it up for you. And it's like, well, wait a minute,
what?
You're a financial institution. You can't be setting up, you know, people's formations just to get them by that requirement.
Yeah.
That's really bad sort of, you know, third party, basically customer due diligence.
Oh my goodness.
But that falls to the institution that ultimately processes those accounts and handles
them,
right? So that's the underlying kind of bigger issue here.
Gosh, wow. I mean, there's literally tens of thousands of fintechs out there, as you well know, and to vet these and to make sure that, you know, they're on the up. And I've spoken to several credit unions that have signed up to work with fintechs, and a year later, that fintech doesn't exist anymore. They go out of business, or, I mean, there's that risk aspect of it as well too. So if they're going to be around, you know, or they get sold.
There's a challenge here. Institutions are feeling the stress of a local or regional market. I've got a friend who's a banker on the bank side, and he's got a $300 million institution, and he comes down to Austin, and he always wants to have the same conversation. He's like, I want to build an app, but I want to get into this. And, you know, at the end of the day, he doesn't really know where he wants to go. He doesn't have a team to do it. And you know, I can help him get those things together. But at the end of the day, they see this, they see success that may not be success, Mike. Like when you look at, and again, I don't want to name the names, but you look at some of the biggest neobanks. You look at some of the ones that were closed down by BBVA, for example, the people that worked at those will tell you that in terms of the way we think about active members at credit unions, you know, like actually transiting an account, at least one transaction a month, for example, they don't count the same way. They literally would have 40% to 50% less accounts than what they're reporting to the public, because they're non-active or they're potentially fraudulent. And so, but to the external banker who's like, look at what so-and-so's doing in the neobank space. Yeah. I want to go do that. You know, they get very excited about it. They also don't realize that, you know, Chime or whoever it might have $200 million of marketing investment. You know, they might be, you know, have all the developers they need mm-hmm. to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to your point, they have to look for a partner who they're going to be around, but they also need to do vendor due diligence on that partner.
Yeah.
They need to make sure that they've got SOC controls, that they've got the right kind of people over there. And generally we see that kind of happening, but then when it comes to the compliance side, which is different than vendor due diligence, you know, really understanding the traffic that's coming across, mm-hmm. you know, kind of auditing that fintech to see if, you know, they're following the right KYC, KYB rules, you know, that's not really happening. And that's the part where, you know, again, it just takes one bad exam. And now the institution, not just the fintech division, the whole institution is sort of under the microscope.
Is this the price we're paying for going digital? Is this kind of, some of it's the great unknown? Is this kind of the price we pay for convenience?
I'll tell you this. I've been doing this for 21 years. I've set in a lot of fintech, the fintech side, you know, and there's a lot of really great developers, Mike. There's a lot of really great people that know how to build stuff.
Yeah.
But it takes kind of this tribal knowledge of banking, right? You know, like you can't just wake up like the Twitter guys that founded Simple Bank and say, you know, their first statement was, you'll never have to wait on your money. You'll never have to wait. Your deposits will be instant. Okay, there's ways you can kind of cheat that. But if you're going to be an FDIC-backed organization, you know, a Fed Reserves kind of organization, you have, you know, timing to wait on, right? You know, and this is before the days of same-day ACH. So if you don't understand those things, they seem just like technical limitations, not like, you know, banking regulation issues, right? So they step all over that, and they don't do it necessarily knowingly. Some do, but most don't. And then the institution is trying to educate, but you know, it just falls apart there, right? And I think that's where, you know, we're trying to at least start sharing that information, some playbooks, some ways for, you know, banks and credit unions to really think about the space, even just to also, before you even get in there, ROI, you know, what's it all going to cost me? Because it just can be, it can look very, very shiny and can be very challenging. If you
Is it ignorance or arrogance in that situation, you know? So, or a mix of both?
Honestly, part of it is desperation, you know, and I get it. You know, I've worked with community banks and credit unions for the entire of my career. And, you know, there's just, look, I'll tell you a little anecdote. A friend of mine runs a $1 billion institution here in Austin, and he goes to acquire a branch to grow, right? That's how we do things. We acquire branches and get that book of business. Sure. And his core quoted him 18 months to do the implementation. At Q2, when I was at Q2, we did those in 30 days. I don't know if they still do them in 30 days. So that's not but I had to bring them in like the president's plane landing into the airport. It was like, we got to get this done so you can take on that acquisition, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see that these days. And maybe if you're a $10 billion organization, you maybe get that pull with your core. But okay, so then how do you grow? Like, how do you get double digit growth? How do you, you know, if you get out of PPP where deposits were plentiful, now you're going, man, we got to try to make up these numbers. Lending is looking good, but I got to go buy deposits, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's a bit of, I'd like to think it's more innovation just for pure innovation, but I think there's a bit of desperation that drives that acceleration. And then people go, I want to do this. And the CEO says, let's go do it.
Right.
I love it. I love innovators, but you got to understand, you know, some of the pitfalls and the real cost to doing it. And I'm not saying not do it. Actually, I'm encouraging people to do it, but
for sure,
do it the right way, right?
Yeah. Pump the brakes a little bit, you know, on the way there. So for sure. Yeah. So yeah. And the importance of this from a credit union standpoint, because they're seeing all this innovation around them, whether it's from the neobanks or the big giant humongous banks, they see it and they go, oh my gosh, we got to keep up with the Joneses or stay ahead of the Joneses type of thing. And sometimes decisions can be, you know, I want to say irresponsible to, you know, bring in a fintech that's not properly vetted. So, I mean, I might be going down the wrong road here, but so I'm thinking that's very risky as well to kind of, you know, keep up in that area, right? So, and
I'll say it like this. You just need to do good vendor due diligence, first of all.
Right.
First of all, have an idea what you're going to go do. Hey, I like this B2B vendor, Mike, because they do faster payments using same day ACH instead of wires. I think that's a great tool. I want to promote them as for all my commercial businesses, but also I'd love to see what book of business they bring in.
Yeah.
I'm going to sponsor them. But now that I know they do B2B ACH, I need to put the right traps around them, right? I need to have my, you know, reasonable forecast around this thing. I need to make sure that the operations person on their side, who's probably not ACAMS or AML certified, they're probably, you know, just an operations person. I need to make sure they follow the rules, right? And my compliance team needs to be involved in that. Don't just throw it into the compliance team and say, hey, here you go, you know, 100 businesses now. I know you used to do 15, just do it, right? Because it will result in either a really bad exam the next time, or you hire 4 more people because you got to keep up with the volume, and that may not work out financially. Yep. So those are the things you should do. And then also remember that you are as a credit union providing the services in that account, you are responsible in the eyes of the examiner for anybody who's, you know, using them. So you've got to drive that responsibility in that exam process, you know, through the same pillars that you would any type of your, you know, institution internal.
Completely. Yeah. I think what I was getting at is there's pressure to keep up. So, and sometimes that pressure, can do things that aren't so wise sometimes. So yeah. So good stuff. Any final advice here for credit unions out there in this environment? Cause I know, and you know, that there's more regulations coming down the turnpike. So that might be a good thing especially on the fintech side, to help to actually help credit unions who are feeling this pressure to perform based on the competition around them. So any advice on this front on for credit unions? Yeah,
well, first, I'd like to say I'm really impressed with Rodney Hood and his team, the NCUA regulators. I think they're seeking to understand, which is a really good trait with the regulators, great, before coming down on, certain regulations and things. But I would just say work with the company. It doesn't have to be a risk out, but work with someone who understands the space, has been either a regulator themselves or is, very, well-versed in these different types and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Get the information, get the ROI, get the operations, get the compliance pieces, and talk to your entire team about it, openly. Don't make it an initiative and throw it into the back office, right? Because, you're not going to have enough staff to keep up. But I don't recommend that, you don't do this. I think it's actually a great opportunity to expand given, the challenges with traditional growth and branch growth. Just do it the right way at the right partners. Yeah. And then, if at all possible, because you're dealing with a lot more volume, get tools where you can track it, right? And there are different tools out there. Yeah. We make a tool, but get a tool so that you don't have to hire 20 people to support, this new revenue stream, because it might not work out, economically. So those are my biggest pieces of advice. Oh, also, when you design a program, we actually advocate this and help you with it. Let's go talk to your examiner ahead of time.
Good idea. Right? Yeah.
Go talk to your examiner. So if it's the NCUA or whoever it might be, state regulator, say, hey, now you don't say, hey, we don't know what we're doing. What do we do? Because that's not the right thing. But you say, hey, we're planning to do this. This is how we're going to mitigate the controls. Do you have any feedback? And let them know. And we found great examiner or regulator response to, great, I did. And many times they're learning with you. Almost everyone learning with you, right?
Yeah.
They have this. So that's a really important part to do as well. Give them a heads up. This is what you're planning to do. And look, the NCUA, ABA, all these larger organizations, they're pushing a heavy fintech content flow. So, go out to your conferences, get in on some of these flows. We have some, events we can share too, but get out there and listen to some of these institutions that are doing it and learn from bank or credit union. Learn from
exactly.
What they're doing.
And that's what I was thinking too, is that, credit union, the industry is a very collaborative industry. So don't be shy about calling up a neighborhood credit union or a neighbor credit union and say, hey, how's that working at your credit union? What hoops did you have to jump through, or what hurdles did you have to get over to get this going? So for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I've yet to find a credit union or bank that wouldn't be willing to help in one of these new markets. Like not a competitive bone in their body. Here's what we would have known, check this out. And
indeed.
I think that's a great thing.
Indeed. All right. Great message to end on, Justin. Anything else to add? Any final thoughts here on this one? Cause this is obviously going to evolve over time, as we know. So, but any final thoughts here?
Yeah, no, that, if you have questions, obviously you can reach out. We have, like I said, ex-examiners on staff, and we'd love to just have conversations about it, educate, or maybe connect you with another institution that may be doing this. And we're going to have some brainstorming events and some, places where people can get around around people and not feel like you're being preached to or told how to do something, but really, what are you thinking about doing and how have you thought about it, and helping people kind of explore that. So there's way too much to do in a short session like this, but happy to share, if people want to reach out.
Indeed. And I like your proactive approach as well. It's like, go talk to that examiner beforehand and help that person learn too, while you guys are doing the same thing. So yeah, great advice. Alrighty, sir. I'm going to let you get going, Justin, because it sounds like you got a lot on your plate. So I don't want to keep you too long, but thank you so much for your insights and your expertise today. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I got to go practice in case you call me up on it.
Next time. 1 quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.